الخلائق أجمعين باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وخاتم النبيين سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا المصطفى أبي القاسم محمد
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أمير المؤمنين صلى الله عليك يا سيد الوصيين يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي أهل البيت فنفوز فوزا عظيما شهر الصيام شهر الصيام به الإسلام قد فجعا وفي رزيته قلب الهدى صدعا شهر الصيام بكت عين السماء دمعا بكت عين السماء دمعا فيه وجبريل ما بين السماء نعاء اليوم اليوم في سيف أشقى العالمين هوى شخص الوصي وفي محرابه صرعا اليوم مات الهدى والدين منهدم وفي ثياب الأسى قد مات مدرعا اليوم فلتسكب الأيتام عبرتها ولتترك الصبر لكن تصحب الجزع يا اليوم في قتله الهادي وفاطمة ماتا وعليا زار سورها صدعا يا هذا ابن ملجم أردى أبا حسن أهل در اليوم من أردى ومن صرعا سيف سيف أصاب به رأس الوصي لقد سيف أصيب به رأس الوصي لقد أصاب قلب الهدى والعلم والورى إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وقرآنه الحميد ما تيسر من سورة الذاريات. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن المتقين في جنات وعيون آخذين ما إن المتقين في جنات وعيون آخذين ما آتاهم ربهم إنهم كانوا قبل ذلك محسنين كانوا قليلا من الليل ما يهجعون وبالأسحار هم يستغفرون وفي أموالهم حق للسائل والمحروم إنهم كانوا قبل ذلك محسنين كانوا قليلا من الليل ما يهجعون وبالأسحار هم يستغفرون وفي أموالهم حق للسائل والمحروم وفي الأرض آيات للموقنين وفي أنفسكم أفلا تبصرون صدق الله العلي العظيم عظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم بمصاب سيدنا ومولانا أمير المؤمنين طيبوا أفواهكم ونوروا مجالسكم بثلاث صلوات على محمد وآل محمد
اللهم صل على
محمد الله Over the past few nights, we've been walking on a journey towards achieving the status of taqwa. How can we get closer, especially during this holy month of Ramadan, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامِ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ Fasting has been prescribed upon you, O believers, just like it was prescribed upon those before you, so that you may achieve the status of taqwa, of piety. So the month of Ramadan is indeed the best time, according to the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, since the shayateen during this month have been chained. The gates of the hellfire have been shut and the gates of Jannah and the gates of Tawbah and Istighfar and repentance have been opened. So it's the best time, my dear brothers and my dear sisters, that we seize that as an opportunity to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and as a vehicle towards taqwa. And we started our conversation by recognizing our responsibility towards our society. We should try to spread the path of justice, kindness, rahmah, mercy in the society. And then in order for us to do so, we need to start that at the family. So we need to take care of our family, of ourselves, of our children, to upbring them in such manners. And then, when we want to do this, we must start with ourselves by recognizing that ourselves has a right upon us, a duty that we have to fulfill towards it. The spirituality that we need to instill within it is a duty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon each and every one of us. If one fails in this duty, then in the akhirah he or she will be punished. And when one succeeds in fulfilling this duty and responsibility, he or she will be rewarded. Then we saw how the first step we need to do such that we can achieve that status of taqwa, the gate that we need to go through is the gate of istighfar and tawbah. Let us repent. Start by doing tawbah. And as I said, this month of Ramadan is the best month where we can start with this tawbah. The dua that we read during this month, especially dua Abi Hamza, my dear brothers and my dear sisters. Dua Abi Hamza Thumali. And we are in the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan. Make sure you read this dua every single night. It takes about 45, 60 minutes, but it is well worth it because the imam there teaches each and every one of us how to do the istighfar beautifully and eloquently. After midnight, try to stay up and recite this dua. Then, after starting with the istighfar and the tawbah, now we need to realize and understand what do we need to do such that we can become among the muttaqeen. And that's when we turn to the sermon of Amir al-Mu'mineen, salawatullahi salamuhu alayh, in Nahj al-Balagha, to his companion Hammam, where he gives him about 90 or 91 characteristics of the muttaqeen. And we started with some of these characteristics, where we now reach to the state where the imam tells him that those muttaqeen, they were not fooled by this dunya. صَبَرُوا أَيَّامًا قَلِيلًا أَعْقَبَتْهُمْ رَاحَةً طَوِيلًا. They were patient in this dunya for a few days, but then the akhirah, they received comfort for eternity. And we saw an example of Amir al-Mu'mineen, salawatullah alayhi salam alayhi, himself, how he demonstrates the best example of sabr, patience. Despite all that he had to go through in his life, all the problems that he had to suffer, and the difficulties he had to witness, he says, I had to be patient. And indeed, with his patience, what was the reward? The minute he was struck by the sword of Ibn Muljim, he said what? Fuztu wa rabbil Ka'ba. Now I have won by the Lord of the Ka'ba. And hence Amir al-Mu'mineen says, بِالصَّبْرِ تُدْرَكُ الرَّغَائِبِ. When you have patience and perseverance, you can reach your goals. It requires dedication, patience and perseverance. Don't give up from the first step. Keep on trying. Keep on going at it until you become successful. And this is a lesson for us in our life, my dear brothers and my dear sisters. In order for us to be successful at the worldly level, we need to work really hard at whatever we do. You ask all those people who became successful, whether it is from a worldly perspective successful or spiritually or whatever way, it did not come overnight. They invested days and months and years until they got to where they got. Things don't happen overnight. بِالصَّبْرِ تُدْرَكُ الرَّغَائِبِ. It is said that there used to be a leader of a battalion or a group, a commander in the army. This commander never lost a battle in his life. Never. One day he lost a battle. He became so depressed. His soldiers were killed. Few of them managed to escape. He became so depressed that he went to the desert. And he wanted to quit war and battles and everything. He sat under a tree in the desert. And there was next to him a rock, a big rock. As he sat under the tree, reflecting upon what has happened in his life, upon what is going to happen in his future life, he saw a little ant that was carrying a grain of rice that was twice the size of the ant itself. And some of us may have seen this, an ant carrying something. In fact, it is said that the ant is actually the strongest animal living, because it can carry like, you know, 3 or 4 times its actual body weight. Interestingly, nonetheless, he saw an ant carrying a grain of rice. And there was like, you know, it was trying to get the grain of rice on top of the rock where there is basically a house of ants right there. So it wanted to take it right there. It would go up halfway, the grain would fall down. So the ant would turn back, go all the way, pick it up, and go up again. Again, it would fall again. And a third time, and seven times, that ant never gave up. Until it managed to go down and take it all the way up where it wanted to take it. When he looked at this, he said, "Shame on me. An ant never gave up and took it seven trials to get success. How can I give up after the first trial? I lost once. Let me go back and have a second thought." And indeed, it says that he went back, he managed to reconstruct his army again, and he became victorious again. So one, in order to be successful in this world, you got to work hard. Ask the Olympians who won the gold medals just recently. Tell them how many years have they spent practicing just for a 10-second, you know, run or a 10-second marathon or a 1-minute marathon or something like that. They'll tell you they've been practicing for years until they got to where they got that gold medal. It doesn't come overnight. And that's what Amir al-Mu'mini alayhi salam also refers to, that in dunya you have to have patience to be successful, as well as you have to have that perseverance and dedication to increase your spirituality to get to akhirah as well, to become among the muttaqeen. And then he says, "Tijaratum murbiha." This is the successful business that they do. Referring to the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, "Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu hal adullukum ala tijaratin tunjikum min azabin aleem. Tu'minuna billahi wa rasulihi wa tujahiduna fi sabilillahi bi amwalikum wa anfusikum." O believers, this is in Surah As-Saff. "Shall I guide you to a business that's never losing? And it will save you from the hellfire. What is it? You believe in Allah and in His Messenger. And you have to struggle with your wealth and with yourself. Personally, do a struggle in life by helping people, giving to charity. At the same time, you have to struggle within yourself in order to pray, in order to fast, in order to be a good person. That all requires energy. In order to be able to work in charities and devote yourself and your time as a volunteer and help people, that all requires energy. You have to give off your time. Amir al-Mu'mineen, among the characteristics of the muttaqeen that we won't get to later on, he's in the same sermon, he says, "Nafsuhu minhu fi ta'ab wal-nas aw fi ana' wal-nasu minhu fi raha." That himself is always tired. Himself is always tired. It keeps on complaining to him, "Man, you fast too much. You pray too much. You wake up in the middle of the night. I need to get some sleep. I need to get some rest." So his self is always complaining of him. However, people are always happy with him. He never hurts people. He never bothers people. On the contrary, he's always on the giving hand of people. So Imam is referring to the ayah, to the Quran, and saying that this is the successful business. And then he said, "Aradathum ad-dunya falam yuriduha." World wanted them. And world, he's referring, of course, to the attractions of this world, to things that will distract us in this world. People sometimes, mashallah, in this world, sit down at night before, you know, going to bed, and instead of praying Salatul Layl, open up the computer, the laptop, and chat, mashallah, for like, you know, an hour or two, doing whatever it is they're doing, wasting their time. Now, I'm not saying that chatting is bad, my dear brothers and my dear sisters. Don't take me wrong. I know we're in the age of Facebook and YouTube, so to tell you that, you know what, stay away from all this, it'll be like speaking of the dinosaur age. So, but everything needs to be moderated in life. Wasting hours on chatting, on the internet, for things that are just useless, is a waste of our time. And it is said, Shaykh al-Baha'i narrates this. He says, on the day of Qiyamah, one of the mufassirin, one of the ulama, when he read the ayah, when he did the tafsir of ayah, يَوْمَ نُرِيهِمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ حَسَرَاتِ, the day when we will show them their deeds and they will feel regret and guilt. He said, Shaykh al-Baha'i is narrating, he says that on the day of Qiyamah, every person will be presented with three safes. The first safe, he or she will open, and in there he will see gold, treasure, gems, jewelry, and he'll say, "What is this?" They'll tell him that this is your good deeds. It has been translated now to all these gold and silver and jewelry and all the good things. Then he will open the second safe and he will see some rotten stuff, bad smell. Things are terrible in there. And he'll say, "What is this?" And he will be told, "This is your bad deeds. Your bad deeds that you committed, your sin, now have been translated into all these terrible bad things." And then he will be presented with a third safe. He will open it and it's empty. There's nothing in there. And the person will ask, "My Lord, what is this safe?" Okay, I know what the first one is, the second, what is this? And the response will be, "This is the time you wasted in dunya. You wasted this time. Neither in ibadah nor in disobedience. And hence, it's just empty. The time that we waste, for example, watching a football game that takes about 2 hours of our time, when there is nothing, you know, being gained or lost. The time chatting on the internet, Facebooking, YouTubing, whatever it is, as long as, unless it is for a purpose. And by a purpose, I mean educational purpose or religious purpose. Then it's a good thing. You're learning from it. Otherwise, just to talk. And my dear brothers and my dear sisters, Shaitan is extremely smart in those cases. A few years ago, in Vancouver, in Canada, where I come from, I read in the newspaper, a 12-year-old boy has gone missing. He's gone missing. And he came from the richest part of Canada, of Vancouver, one of the richest areas. He's been missing. After 2 days, they caught him. Where? In the airport. And he had a ticket to fly to New York. So they asked him, "How did you get your ticket? What's the matter? Where did you disappear from? How did all this happen?" It turned out that the guy met someone online who fooled him. He was 12 years old. He said, "Come to New York. I'll buy you a ticket. And here we'll have all the nice things around you. And there's a beautiful place," and so on and so forth. So the guy rode his bicycle all the way to the airport with his bag. And he had a ticket with him to fly. But that's where they caught him, right there and then. You know, it's a real story. It's a reality. Shaitan is very smart in those cases, my dear brothers and my dear sisters. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. So one needs to understand that this world, we are being held accountable for every single thing we do. We should not waste time, my dear brothers and my dear sisters. We should not waste time. Once that third safe is open and it's empty, it is said that individual will feel so guilty. Why did I waste my time and not invest it in ibadah? Couldn't I have said salawat, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad? And it is said, sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The heaviest thing that will be put on our a'mal, you know, the balance of our a'mal, the scale that will tip it really heavily, is the salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Rasulullah on the Mi'raj, he went to the Jannah. He saw some angels are building. They're building mansions. But they're not using this bricks that we are familiar with. They're using a brick of gold and another brick of silver. A brick of gold and a brick of silver. They were building, 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 and then they stopped. And they sat down. He turned to Jibreel. He said, "What's the matter? Why did they stop?" He said, "Because they don't have any more materials to build with. When you want to build, you have to go get the materials." He said, "They're out of materials." And he said, "What is their material, ya Jibreel? What is the material?" He said, "Whenever a mu'min says, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, that will be translated into one brick." So as long as the person is doing this tasbih, more and more bricks will be built. Whenever he stops, they also stop. He continues, they continue, and so on and so forth. This is how a human being constantly uses his time. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to when he says, وَالَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, تَنَامُ عَيْنِي وَلَا يَنَامُ قَلْبِي. My eyes might sleep, But my heart is always in constant connection 24/7 with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like your internet sometimes, you know, when you get the DSL or the cable internet, where it's always constantly connected to the... But unlike that internet connection, which sometimes could be interrupted, you know, some problems, technical issues, that connection is always 24/7, never gets disconnected. Always, until you choose to disconnect it. Until you choose. So, Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullahi alayhi says that invest the time. Those people did the proper investment. تِجَارَةٌ مُرْبِحَ يَسَّرَهَا لَهُمْ رَبَّهُمْ. This world wanted to attract them with all these distractions, but they rejected it. And it made them its prisoners. But they paid a ransom, and the ransom is taqwa. They paid the ransom and they got out. With their taqwa, they managed to get out of the imprisonment of dunya. Abu Darda says, we were sitting in a gathering with some of the companions. And they started to ask, who is the most pious individual after Rasulullah? Abu Darda says, without a doubt, it is Ali ibn Abi Talib. They said to him, Ya Abu Darda, why do you say so? Why do you think Ali is the most pious individual after Rasulullah? He says, because one night, I was in Medina, on the outskirts of Medina. And it was in the middle of the night. I was walking, and then I heard a voice. I came closer to the voice, and I saw it was Ali ibn Abi Talib doing sujood in the desert, in the middle of the night. And he was praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah to forgive him. He says, I continued to listen to Ali ibn Abi Talib, and I saw him in tears, and he is weeping and crying, asking for forgiveness. And then all of the sudden, his tone and his voice faded away. He said, I approached him, I came closer, I saw that Ali is not moving anymore. I shook him, I tried to wake him up, he did not even move. He was like a stick of wood. No matter how much I shook him, he would not move. So I said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Ali ibn Abi Talib has died. And he said, I started to cry, I ran to Medina, and I knocked on his door. He says, Fatima al-Zahra alayha salam answered. She said, who is it? He said, Ya binta Rasulullah, I am Abu Darda. What's the matter? What brings you in the middle of the night? He said, I have bad news for you. She said, what's the matter? He said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. But I tell you the news that Ali has passed away. She said, why are you saying this? So he told her the story. He said, I was walking in the desert, I saw him praying, and this is how he was, and then I tried to move him and shake him. He never woke up. She said, Ya Abu Darda, la alayk, innaha al-ghashya allati ta'tarih min khashyatillah. She said, Ya Abu Darda, don't worry, he's not dead. This is the state he gets into out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's just fainted. She said, take some water, splash it on his face, and he will wake up. So Abu Darda said, I couldn't believe it. I took some water, I ran, I splashed his face, and yes indeed, Ali woke up. And then I started crying, and I said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ya Ali, why do you do this to yourself? He said, Ya Abu Darda, and who will be there for me on the day when I will be faced all alone with my deeds, and no one is there to help me? He said, I have to do this, because on that day nothing is going to help me. On that day, my dear brothers and my dear sisters, when they are giving us our book of deeds and a'mal, we'll be all alone, all alone. No one there to help us. Allah says, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. On that day, your children can't help you, your money can't help you, even if you're Bill Gates, your money is not going to help you. Or let's not use that because we're in Britain. Let's use J.K. Rowling. Even if you're J.K. Rowling, even then your money will not help you. So on that day, only when you come to Allah with a pure heart. And Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen teaches us how to do this. Dirar came to visit Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan after the death of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And Muawiyah said to him, Ya Dhirar, sif li Aliya, describe Ali for me. Dhirar hesitated at first. Muawiyah said, don't worry, Dhirar, I won't kill you. Go ahead, describe him. He said that there was no one in his piety and no one who took care of the orphans and the widows like Ali ibn Abi Talib, Ya Dhirar, Ya Muawiyah. And there was no one with his piety and his taqwa. And one day, I was walking in the desert in the middle of the night. This tells us, my dear brothers and my dear sisters, Imam Ali used to go to the desert quite often in the middle of the night to pray. He said, I was walking in the desert and I heard a voice. I approached it and I saw it was Ali ibn Abi Talib doing sujood on the sand in the desert and saying, Ya dunya ghurri ghayri. أَإِلَيَّ أَقْبَلْتِ أَمْ إِلَيَّ تَشَوَّقْتِ هيهات طلقتك ثلاثة لا رجعة لي فيك فإن عيشك قصير وعمرك فإن عيشك حقير وعمرك قصير وخطرك كبير آه من قلة الزاد ومن بعد الطريق ومن مشقة السفر. He says Ali ibn Abi Talib was talking to Dunya. He said, Dunya, are you trying to fool me with all these attractions and all these gold and silver and the world? We should work hard just so that we can have the best house. That is our goal. No. Ahlul Bayt say, don't make these things as the goal in life. If they come by, that's fine. But don't make them the goal to own the best car, to own the best house. That should not be your goal in life. Your goal in life is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's nothing wrong in having them, as long as you're taking care of the other people by paying your khums, your zakat, by giving that 20% tax from your money, even if you have, if you're a student. At the end of the year, you should decide on a fiscal year for yourself. Even at the end of that fiscal year, whatever year date you choose, if you have 10 pounds in the bank account, you should take 2 pounds out of it and give it to the rightful people. If you have 100 pounds, you should take money out and give it to those who are in need. So, that should not be our goal in life. And Imam Ali says, don't try to fool me, ya dunya. I know what you are like. Lifespan is very short compared to akhirah. And we're in constant difficulty in this world. Even the richest person gets sick, gets ill. He can't stop himself from even the flu, that viruses can't. So Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayh says, this is the dunya, don't be fooled by it. And Dhirar started to cry. So Muawiyah said, Ya Dhirar, do you love him? He said, yes, I loved him so much. He said, do you miss him? He said, yes, I miss him like a mother who has lost her own child. That's how much I miss Ali ibn Abi Talib. And then Amir al-Mu'mineen continues in the sermon with two very important characteristics, and that is the description of the muttaqin at night. He says they are always praying and reciting Quran in the middle of the night. Salatul Layl. My dear brothers and my dear sisters, this is the month of Ramadan. You wake up for suhoor, don't go back to sleep. Try to wake up 10 minutes earlier and go pray Salatul Layl, those 11 rak'ats. If you don't have time for the 11, pray the last 3 rak'at. Salatul Watr, Salatul Shaf'i, wa Salatul Watr. Pray it before you go back to sleep. And then pray Salatul Subh, of course, and go back to sleep. The thawab of the salat is so great that Imam al-Sadiq, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, says, every deed a person does in this dunya, salat, siyam, Allah has given its reward in the Quran. Everything. Allah says, whatever, for example, musalloon, Allah will give them this and this reward. Those who fast, Allah will give them this and this reward. He said, the only deed which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give its reward in the Quran is Salatul Layl. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, a soul, a nafs, la ta'lam. It does not know. Ma ukhfiya. What Allah has hidden for it, min qurrati ayn. What it will be pleased with. You don't know. You can't imagine. In other words, even if we go to Disneyland, Disney and we tell them, try to make us some movie about Akhirah and Jannah. No matter what they can come up with, all these fairies and all that stuff, still they cannot come up with what is Jannah going to be like for those who pray Salatul Layl. Those who pray Salatul Layl. And it is said, on the day of Qiyamah, when those people who constantly every night pray Salatul Layl, when they are resurrected from their graves, Qiyamah does not have lights. Those individuals, their faces will be shining like projectors with light. And their light will be dragging them to Jannah, will be guiding them to Jannah. And in the Hadith al-Qudsi, it is said, كَذِبَ عَبْدٌ اِدَّعَى أَنَّهُ يُحِبُّنِي فَإِذَا جَنَّهُ اللَّيْلِ نَامَ عَنِّي. A liar is a servant of mine who claims that he loves me, but when the night falls, he goes and sleeps and forgets about me. He does not love me. So let us pray and try to pray Salatul Layl. And of course, as I mentioned, it takes training. If it is difficult for you, especially after Ramadan you wake up for Suhoor anyways, to pray Salatul Layl before Salatul Subuh, that 1 hour before Salatul Subuh, then try to pray it before going to sleep. If it is difficult for you to stay up until 12:30 in the morning and praying it, pray it even before going to sleep. Anytime. Whatever. It's 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. When is your bedtime? Sleep. Read Salatul Layl and then go to sleep. Until you can train yourself to do it at the proper time, which is after midnight. It's a training process. Once we do this, my dear brothers and my dear sisters, Imam says, now the person has reached the status of taqwa, because that's the characteristic. They pray at night reading the Qur'an. And when they read the Qur'an, they don't read it like some of us, mashallah, when they open up, without understanding a single word of what we're reading. No, Imam says, no, they reflect upon what they read. Whenever they come across an ayah, a verse, that Allah talks about punishment, they get shaky and ask Allah for forgiveness. Whenever they come across a verse which has the mercy of Allah and the reward for the believers, they get pleased by it. Imam al-Sajjad, salamullah alayhi, used to be like that. Whenever he used to read the Quran, it is said people used to gather around his house in Medina. They would listen, and because he recited so beautifully, they would cry. He would move men to tears with his recitation. And whenever he came across a verse where Allah talks about the hellfire and punishment, he would start to shake and cry. And whenever he came across a verse which had the blessings of Allah and Jannah, he would smile and ask Allah to grant him Jannah. This is their status at night. In the daytime, hulama'un ulama, abrarun atqiya, Imam says, in the daytime. They are forbearing, forgiving, and they are knowledgeable, ulama. They are of the highest status, even when they deal with people, abrar and atqiya. When they talk, when they behave, when they act, whatever they do, they're always thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, when a person looks at them, he thinks they are sick. Because of their constant ibadah, they look pale. He thinks that they're sick, but they're not sick. They don't have any illness. It's because of the fear that they have in their heart from their Lord. And no matter how much they pray and they fast and they do good deeds, they think that they have not done enough. Never have we done enough. A man came to Mecca for Hajj. He said, I wanted to go and do tawaf around the Kaaba, tawaf mustahab, but it was so crowded, so I thought I'll wait until midnight. Even this day and age, if you go to Hajj, at about 1 o'clock in the morning, the crowd, you know, decreases a little bit. So you can go and do some mustahab tawaf if you're interested. He said, I went there in the middle of the night. It was dark. Nobody is there. But then I heard someone doing sujood and praying, saying, Ilahi gharat nujumu samawatik wa namat uyunu anamik. وغلقت الملوك أبوابها وجعلت عليها حجابها وبابك مفتوح للسائلين. He said, I heard a voice praying to Allah.
praying to Allah, "Oh my Lord, it is the time of night where people have gone to sleep and the kings have shut their gates and their doors, but your gates are opened." He said, "I looked and I saw it was Imam al-Sajjad, salamullahi alayhi. He is doing dua." I told him, "Ya ibn Rasulullah, you are crying, you are doing sajda dua." He said, "Remember, akhirah, we will be faced with our deeds. That's all thing we were going to have. That's it, nothing else. And if I don't equip myself and prepare myself for akhirah, I'll be there left alone. And punishment, nobody's immune from punishment. Even if he is a Sayyid Qurayshi, even if he comes from Quraysh, if a person does not follow the path of Allah, he will be punished. And if a person is a complete stranger, a convert or a revert to Islam, but if he is a muttaqi and a believer and follows the path of Allah, Allah will reward him with Jannah. So it doesn't matter." That is the status of the muttaqeen, my dear brothers and my dear sisters. This is my last night with you, inshallah. My dear brothers and my dear sisters, let us reflect upon what have we been doing for the past years in our life. What have we accomplished? Let us ask ourselves this question. Because the hadith says, "Hasibu anfusakum qabla an tuhasabu, wa zinuha qabla an tuzanu." Ask yourselves before you are asked. On the day of Qiyamah, the minute we are resurrected from our graves, there will be angels. Before we even take a step, one step, they're going to ask us, "Hold on a second. Tell me, what did you do in your lifetime? Tell me, what have you accomplished? Tell me, what did you do in your youth? When now you have the strength and the power, what did you do with it? Did you invest it in praying and fasting, getting up in the middle of the night to do salat, or did you waste it in going places which you were not supposed to go and seeing things that you were not supposed to see? Tell me, what did you, where did you get your money from and how did you spend it? Tell me. Tell us." And finally, they will ask us about the wilaya of Ahlul Bayt, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. Did you follow them? Did you obey them? Did you walk into their path? Or did you just claim that, "I love Ahlul Bayt, I love Ahlul Bayt," but our deeds were the opposite? Were the opposite. And I will conclude with this story, my dear brothers and my dear sisters. In Kitab al-Ihtijaj by Allama al-Tabrasi, when it comes to the discussions of Imam al-Ridha, salamullahi alayh, in the last discussion of Imam al-Ridha, before he moves on to Imam al-Kazim, he says, Imam al-Ridha, when he went to Khurasan, a group of people came from a faraway city to visit the Imam. They knocked at his gate. Imam's servant came out and said, "Yes, how can I help you?" They said, "Tell the Imam that we are Shi'atu Ali, and we've come from a faraway distance to see the Imam." He said, "Okay." The servant goes in, comes back, and he says, "The Imam does not have time to see you. Go away." They go away, they come back again. And the same thing happens. Imam tells his servants, "Tell them that I don't have time to see them. Tell them to go away." And they go away. Third time, fourth time, 62 times. Finally, they come the last time, the 62nd time. They said to the servant, "Please tell the Imam we are embarrassed to go back to our cities. What will the people tell us if they learn that we came all the way here to see you and we couldn't? You did not accept to see us. They will mock us. They will laugh at us. We're embarrassed to go back." Imam said, "Okay, fine, let them come in." They came in. They said, "Assalamu alayka ibn Rasulullah." He did not respond. And then they said, "Ya ibn Rasulullah, lima hadha al-jafa? Why do you treat us so, in such a way?" He said, "لأنكم كذبتم على الله وعلى رسوله وعلى جدي أمير المؤمنين." Because you have lied. You claim that you are the Shia of Ali ibn Abi Talib. He said, "Do you know who the Shia of Ali ibn Abi Talib were?" He said Hassan and Hussein, Ammar ibn Yasir, Salman, Miqdad. He said those were the Shia of Ali ibn Abi Talib, the likes of such individuals. He said, you people, you claim with your mouth that you are our Shia, but your actions are contradictory. You don't take care about your salat and your deeds. You cheat and you lie with your tongue. Your behavior is not that of our Shia. How can you claim that you are our Shia? That word is of a very high caliber to be a Shia. Very high caliber. Are you there? No, you're not there yet. So they said, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, then what shall we say? He said, قُولُوا إِنَّكُمْ مِنْ مُحِبِّينَ. Say that you're of our lovers. You love us, but you have not got to the state of Shia yet. They said, okay, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, we apologize, we are your lovers. Now when they said this, he said, وَعَلَيْكُمُ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. Now he responded to their salam. He said, yes, how can I help you? He said, we just came to give the salam to you, Ya Ibn Rasulullah. Then he turned to his servants and he said, how many times did you shun them away? He said, 62 times. He said, so, be kind to them and give them the equivalent of 62 visits. Plus, make sure that they have enough money and enough wealth and enough food that will take them back to their homes safely. And this now leaves us with a question that each and everyone must ask ourselves. Where are we from the love of Ahlul Bayt and being their followers? Imam Hussein alayhi salam left Mecca with 1,000 followers. 1,000. In Karbala, how many did he have? 72. Plus his family members, 90. Let's be generous and say 100. So out of 1,000, they shrunk down to 100. That's what percentage? 10%. So we need to ask ourselves the question, are we of the 90% or are we of the 10%? That requires a lot of effort. So in order for us to do so, my dear brothers and my dear sisters, let us start from tonight. From tonight, do not delay. First thing to do is to do istighfar. Repent. Ask Allah to forgive you. Read Dua Abu Hamza because that teaches us exactly how to do it. Then let us start to train ourselves to pray Salatul Layl. Train ourselves to try to give sadaqah, charity, no matter how small it is, every day. Even if it is 1 pence. 1 pence. If you can't afford, 1 pence. Every day. Try to give it as a charity. And then when you collect a big enough money, give it to somebody who can deliver it to the poor. Because this will train ourselves to help others as well. Always ask yourself, am I a blessing to people or am I a curse? How can I improve my akhlaq and my manners such that my parents are pleased with me? My friends and my neighbors are pleased with me. And Allah above all is pleased with me. This takes a lot of our time. Let us reflect upon the words of Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullahi alayhi. Such that we can follow and walk in his path, my dear brothers and my dear sisters. Because it is not easy to walk in his path. Peace be upon him. He lived a great life, but full of challenges and full of struggles. And he emerged so successfully. He was not fooled by this world. And look at him today, where he is. In this world, in this dunya, look at his golden shrine. And in Akhirah, well, it's a different story altogether. But on a night such like this night, my dear brothers and my dear sisters, after being struck in Masjid al-Kufa, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhimus salam rushed to Masjid al-Kufa when they heard the news that their father had been struck in the Masjid. Upon entering the Masjid, they saw their father Amir al-Mu'mineen lying there with the mihrab, the place of his prayer, full of his blood, being heavily wounded. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen turned to Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam and said, pray the Salatul Subh, Jama'ah, and with the people. So Imam al-Hasan prayed Salatul Jama'ah, Salatul Subh. And then Amir al-Mu'mineen, he never forgot about his Salat. He prayed his Salat as well while he was in the state of sitting down because he lost an energy to get up and pray his Salat.
than Imam al-Hasan and Imam al-Hussein carried their father Amir al-Mu'mineen to the house. And the Shia and everybody started to follow them weeping and crying. Aywa imama, aywa sayyida. Imam al-Hassan and Imam Hussein and Amir al-Mu'mineen to his house. When they got into the house, the entire Shia started to gather around the house of Amir al-Mu'mineen, weeping and crying. Imam al-Hassan came out and he said, please be dispersed for the time being because Amir al-Mu'mineen needs to rest at this stage. Everybody left except for one person, Al-Asbagh ibn Nabat. He said, I sat there, I could not leave the house. I sat there until I heard there was a shout and people are crying inside the house of Amir al-Mu'mineen, which moved me and I started to cry and shout as well. Then Imam al-Hassan came out and said, Ya Asbagh, didn't I ask you to leave? He said, yes, Ya Mawlai, but I could not leave. I have to see my master Amir al-Mu'mineen. Imam al-Hassan got in and he came out. He said, come in, Ya Asbagh, come on and see, meet your master, your imam. Asbagh says, I came into the room of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. I saw him lying on his bed. I started crying. He said, Ya Asbagh, don't cry. Innaha wallahi al-jannah. Qala a'lam ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. Innaka sa'irun ila al-jannah. Walakin abki lifiraqika ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. I know, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, you'll be going off to Jannah, but I'm weeping and crying because I'm going to be missing you, Ya Ali ibn Abi Talib. Then he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, let me see your wound. He opened his imamah and he saw the wound. He said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, you faced Amr ibn Wad. You faced the most heroine individuals and you've been hit before with even a deeper wound. Inshallah, you'll be cured from this one. Imam Ali said, La ya Asbagh, inni mufariqukum amma qareeb. Not this one, Ya Asbagh. This one I will not be recovering from. I'll be leaving this world very shortly. And then Imam al-Hasan and Imam al-Hussein brought a surgeon by the name of Uthayr. Uthayr came to Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullahi alayh. He brought with him a special vein coming from the goat. He dipped that vein into the wound of Amir al-Mu'mineen. When he took it out and he looked at it, قَالَ يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اِعْهَدْ عَهْدَكَ وَأَوْصِ وَصِيَّتَكَ فَإِنَّ ضَرْبَةَ هَذَا اللَّعِينَ قَدْ وَصَلَتْ إِلَىٰ أُمِّ رَأْسِكَ. Oh, Ali, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, it is apparent that the wound is very deep and the poison has gone very deep into your body. You will not be safe, so give your farewell and give your wasiyya, your will to the people around you. So Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam gathered his children Hassan and Hussein and he started to give them admonishments. He told Imam al-Hassan, oh my son, you'll be the Khalifa after me, so take care of the people. Allah, Allah bil Quran, take care of the Quran. Don't be in such a way that other people will be following its principles and its rules and you guys will be leaving it aside. And then he said, try to perfect yourselves. فَإِنِّي سَمِعْتُ مِنْ حَبِيبِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَاحُ ذَاتِ بَيْنِكُمْ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ عَامَّةِ الصَّلَاةِ وَالصِّيَامِ. That you need to take care of yourself. Taking care of yourself and taking care that Allah is pleased with you is better than all the other extra salat that you may perform besides the mandatory salat. And then Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullahi alayhi, stayed in that state for a couple of days, telling Imam al-Hassan and Imam al-Hussein, before they even feed him, when they brought him the milk, he said, make sure that you take some of this milk to Abdurrahman ibn Muljim, his own murderer. He would actually tell Imam al-Hassan, take care, make sure he's well fed, he's well rested, he's well taken care of. And then he told Imam al-Hassan, if I die, then you strike him once, just like he struck me once only. And then on the 21st day of this month, oh my dear brothers and my dear sisters, when all the family gathered around Amir al-Mu'mineen, Salamullahi alayhim, مدد رجله وأسبل يده وعرق جبينه وقال بسم الله وبالله وعلى ملة رسول الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله ثم فاضت روحه الطاهرة رحم الله المنادي أيوا عليا أيوا إماما أيوا سيدا Imam al-Hassan and Imam al-Hussein then carried Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen. They gave him a bath. They gave him the kafan. And then in the middle of the night, they buried Amir al-Mu'mineen and they hid his grave. Amir al-Mu'mineen's grave was hidden for 150 years, my dear brothers and my dear sisters. Because they were afraid that Muawiyah would come and expose the grave of Amir al-Mu'mineen. So they kept it hidden. After burying Amir al-Mu'mineen in the middle of the night, they came back and they heard a man crying. They approached him. They saw it was an old man who was blind. He said, Ya Sheikh, ma khabar, mal khabar. Oh Sheikh, oh old man, what is the matter? Why are you weeping? He said, there used to be a good man, a blessed man who used to come by every single night and give me some food, give me some help. I am very poor and I'm blind. I can't help myself. But for the past 3 nights, I have not seen this man come by. And I don't know where he's been gone. I don't know where he's disappeared. Imam al-Hassan said, Ya Sheikh, what did this man look like? He said, I don't know. I'm blind. I can't see him. Then he said, describe him for us. He said, whenever he came, I would smell a beautiful aroma, as if it is the aroma of Jannah. And he would always do tasbih, he would always do takbir. Imam al-Hassan said, does this aroma smell like his? And he gave him his hand. When he smelled it, he said, yes, this is the aroma I used to smell from this man. He said, Ya Sheikh, inna dhalika abana Amir al-Mu'mineen. That's our father, Amir al-Mu'mineen. And we have just come back from burying him. This man started weeping. He said, take me to his qabr. They took him to his qabr. He started weeping and he was the first man to die on the grave of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And they buried him next to Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. Then they had to come back. Can tell Zainab alayhi salam that we have just finished burying our father Amir al-Mu'mineen. صاحت ولي المجبلين أسمع هذا الوصياح وني خاف انشت العاد يا طيبين لما نسمعها الحسن وحسين صاحوا يا زينب زيد الونين وبوش نطب الراس وصار نصين صاحت يا عيد لك شرع المسلمين يا ابويا بعدك ننطي الوجه وين ابو حسين ما تمم صيام الف العيد ولا ديتام لقد قتلتم الصلاة في محرابها يا قاتليه وهو في محرابه إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين. Dear brothers and sisters, try to mourn and commemorate this great tragedy with Amir al-Mu'mineen by joining and raising your voices with Imam al-Hassan and Imam al-Hussein and Zainab and participate, inshallah, in the Latmiyyah. Everybody get up, inshallah, and participate in this Latmiyyah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.